Mammoth
Audio. This is Scammapalooza. My name is Nicholas J. Johnson. For more information on today's show, check out conman.com.au. What do Natalie Portman, Pope Francis, and my guest today all have in common? They all use pseudonyms, fake names to either hide their real identities or perhaps to create entirely new ones. Today on the show, we're examining false identities and non-deplumes with erotica author Peter C. Haywood, if that is his real name. This is Scammapalooza. I feel like we should begin by me apologizing to you.
I think that would probably be appropriate at the start of every podcast, regardless of who you're with.
Yeah, just to apologize, just a sort of airing of grievances, Festivus style, because the way in which you and I met, or even before we met.
Yeah, well, I'd known you on Facebook, but like never actually met you in the physical flesh at all.
Yeah, and I found out that you were an author, and not just an author, but an author of erotica.
Correct.
And that you published all of your works under a pseudonym.
Yep.
And you were basically not forthcoming with the pseudonym to me, a man you'd never met. And in fact, not to anyone, really.
Well, I wasn't in, like, everyone knew that I wrote erotica, but the stuff that I write tends to be pretty dirty, so I don't just hand it out like fairy floss.
Yeah, so I then proceeded to use every scrap of information that I had about you and that I knew about erotica and the sort of erotica that you wrote, and basically stalked you and found out your pseudonym.
I was very impressed, I'm going to be honest. Like, the first two guesses, I was like, he's never going to get this. And the third one, I was like, yeah, that's me.
Yep. Yeah.
Well, you did it.
But then shortly after that, you were a little bit more forthcoming with people about your about your erotica.
You found out, and I was like, oh, well, I'll tell everyone.
So, was it really because one person rolled you and you went, you know what, I'm just going to tell everyone?
I think it was one person rolled me, and I was sort of like, what am I worried about? Like, if people know I write erotica, knowing what specific kind of erotica, if that's going to like make them go, this is a bad person, then I'm okay with that person not being in my life anymore. And you found it and you're like, okay, cool, here's you. And I was like, that's right. And I sort of expected some kind of judgment or something. Like, I'd picked a pseudonym to hide almost. And then you found it and you're like, okay, cool, this is you. And I was like, yeah, that's me.
Yeah, that's right.
It was a non-deal. And I was like, oh, this is just not really a thing. So I'll just be open about it because I don't do well with lying at all.
Because a pseudonym is essentially, most of the time, it is a lie. It is putting forward not just a name, but a different persona to the public.
Yeah.
We should say, because otherwise people are going to want to know, what sort of erotica do you write?
I write incest mind control.
What? You're disgusting.
Yeah, that's correct, but also it's very lucrative, so I'm okay with it.
In choosing a pseudonym, did you decide to sort of not just choose a name, but to create a character? That when people...
It's a story because I originally wrote online stuff for free for years. And when I first started, I was 16 or something like that, which meant I couldn't even legally read the stuff I was writing. And so I think the pseudonym I went with originally was something like The Toonmeister, which is just awful on every pot. Like, it's just the worst possible pseudonym, but I was 16. And then I kind of dropped out of it for about 5-6 years, came back when I was about 24, 25. And was sort of like, this is the worst possible pseudonym of all the pseudonyms. And so I wanted something else. So I did a bunch of research, and on my online sort of the place where I posted them for free before I started doing it professionally, I went under the name Pan, which was sort of, Pan is like the god of fertility.
Yeah.
And also it was a nice little nod to Peter Pan, because my real name is Peter.
Oh, nice.
And I really enjoyed kind of the layers of that. And then I started doing it for sales, making money from it, and so I decided to just riff off that, and I went with Pandora as the first name, because it was kind of just an extension of the name I'd been going with for about 3 or 4 years, and then the box, Pandora box, is the full one, and that sort of just wrote itself. So when I publish it for sale, I'm a woman, because erotica by women just sells better, just flat out better. But my Pan persona, so I've got a few. I've got, I think, 5 different pseudonyms that I write under, and Pan is just me... as a man who's a 27-year-old Australian who writes erotica. Pandora Box is a woman who lives in Perth and rides a bike.
And, why does she ride a bike?
When you sell erotica, you want just a hint of a persona so that people feel like they're buying from a real person.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, okay, what is Pandora Box like? I found sort of a hipster chick image, and she's an ex-librarian, and I wanted to be Australian because I'm Australian. I use a lot of Australianisms. But at the time, I was really worried about people finding who I was and all that. So I was like, Perth is where I don't live, and I don't ride a bike, but I do watch a lot of TV because I also reference TV quite a lot in my books. So that was kind of the three things about her, which is enough of a persona for Amazon readers to be like, yep, that's a real person. She rides a bike, she lives in Perth, and she watches a lot of TV.
And do you think that readers and readers of erotica want to connect with the author as much as they do with the characters in the stories?
I definitely don't think that they want to connect with them, but they want to feel like it's a real person.
Mm-hmm.
So if you were writing something under the name, you know, Tits McGee or whatever, people are going to be like, oh, that's not a real person. Like, I'm not interested in what they have to say. But Pandora Box, because she has enough of a personality to feel like a real person, they're like, cool, I'm buying my erotica from a person. That's good enough for me. Because the primary audience of erotica is women, and so they want to buy from a woman. And so if it's a really obviously fake woman, then it's not scratching that itch.
Yeah. Do you think that there is something threatening about a man who writes erotica? Like, not about you specifically. Are you threatening?
Yes, that's correct. No, I think the reason that women want to buy from a woman is because they feel like men will not understand their sexual experiences and be able to, like, provide them with erotica, basically. They think men, they're the kind of people who watch porn where the women, you know, obviously fake orgasms have huge fake tits, whereas erotica, they want something a little bit more realistic. Well, I say realistic as the guy who writes Mind Control Incest, but they want a sexual experience that is for women. And the sort of belief, I guess, is that men can't write for women.
Yeah. That they don't quite understand the female mind and they don't get it. And,
exactly.
Okay. Fair enough. I mean, I don't think that is necessarily something that is exclusive to erotica though, because you have authors like, S.J. Watson. So S.J. Watson is an English writer who wrote Before I Go to Sleep, which is a woman in peril thriller,
right?
Yeah. About a woman with no who has no short term memory.
Yeah,
and she wakes up each morning, doesn't know who she is and where she is. And
so it's her 50 First Dates.
Yeah. Memento meets Sleeping with the Enemy. And anyway, his name is Stephen Watson, but he publishes his books as S.J. Watson.
Right.
And I read the book and enjoyed it very much. It was a great, really great read, and said, "Oh, that this woman writes great," and just assumed it was a woman.
Right.
Because S.J. Watson.
Yeah.
And so when you find out later on that it's actually Steve Watson,
yeah.
I was a little bit, like, I felt a little bit cheated.
Yeah.
As if I wasn't getting a sort of an authentic, female experience from the author. But of course that's ridiculous because
if you're an author, you should be able to write humans regardless of what they have between their legs.
Right,
it's interesting that SJ you assumed was a woman because a huge number of female authors will take on initials so that people assume they're a man.
Yeah.
It's like J.K. Rowling wanted to publish as Joe Rowling, but J-O, female version, but the publisher was like, look, no one's going to buy it if they think this story about a male wizard is by a woman. So she picked up J.K. Rowling, I think making up a middle name as well. Because people were more likely to buy a book if it was potentially a man.
Yeah.
She obviously then became very famous and everyone knows now that JK is a woman, but when it started and she wasn't, the idea was just, you know, we'll pick initials and that way people will assume masculine.
Yeah, that's right. And I feel there is that, particularly when you have, you know, such a strong lead character, like, like S.J. Watson and J.K. Rowling both have, that there is that they need to have some sort of connection to who they really are. Otherwise, you as the reader have got that kind of roadblock to get past.
Yeah. That's interesting because young adult fiction is predominantly a female audience, is my understanding of it, just because guys at that age don't read books.
Mm.
And so the trick to success in young adult is quite often to write a female protagonist. So we see that in The Hunger Games and Divergent and many things that aren't massive blockbuster films, but it's quite common to write a female protagonist. But at the same time, it's quite often for people to write that as a man with no hesitation. So like John Scalzi wrote the Zoe Tales and John Green wrote
Fault in Our Stars. Yeah.
With female leads at no point hiding the fact that they're a man writing a female lead. And I'm pretty sure Scott Westmoreland has written a few as well. So yeah, it's a weird bias.
Yeah, it is. And it is one, I mean, obviously there's also that idea, I guess, of, you know, when we're talking about the character of the author,
yeah,
you can have it reach a point where they become clearly a fictional,
right,
character, you know, like Lemony Snicket, yeah, for Lemony, example.
Daniel Handler, yeah, he's, yeah, amazing.
Yeah.
And he wrote himself into the books.
as a fictional character. Yeah. And so there's that layer upon, yeah, layer.
And he does a lot of public appearances. He does two types of public appearances. He does them as Daniel Handler and he does them as Lemony Snicket. And as Lemony Snicket, he just doesn't hold back. Like, he'll berate people and he'll make, you know, stupid offensive comments, and he has a costume and he rocks up and is full on Lemony Snicket. But other times he's Daniel Handler and he's kind of a mild-mannered...
Yeah, yeah.
Sort of a polite author.
Yeah, I think that it provides, I guess, a sort of a line of protection, not only for the author, like, you know, yourself, yeah, to sort of hide behind, but also to protect the reader from the author, protect them from their eccentricities. Yeah. Do you think, I mean, obviously you have people who use their pseudonyms as a, you know, as a, like we said, as sort of a way of protecting, but there's also that idea of just sort of demarcation in terms of different works. So,
oh, right. Like, Agatha Christie wrote 66 crime novels, 15 collections of short stories, and then 6 romance novels. The romance novels under a totally different name, Mary Westmoreland.
Yeah, that's right. So she'll do something like that where she'll basically draw a line in the sand, yeah, so that people don't confuse her with, you know, they don't confuse the works.
They don't pick up the romance novel expecting a crime book and then being like, well, I've hit page 87 and no one's died yet.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Well, actually, I write under 3 main pseudonyms. Mm. Pandora Box is for my mind control incest stuff, and that's now where the majority of my work goes because that's the one that really makes the money. And then I have, I've got 4, actually. I've got Lily Nibs, which is just generally mind control stuff but not incest. And so it's just people who are into incest as erotica are really into it. People who are not are really not. Like, if you're turned off by that idea, you never want to read anything of that type.
Yeah, that, I can see that.
And so I have just a whole separate pen name for non-incest stuff. And then I also take a lot of commissions as part of my job, and they get very, very nasty in a whole different way. Like, quite often, tattoos and like forced tattoos and stuff like that. I've got one particular guy who commissions work for me who's really into forced tattoos, and he pays me a lot of money, so I'll quite happily write forced tattoos. But again, it's sort of this dark tone that the rest of my stuff has a different dark tone.
Yeah.
And so I published that under Nikki Fox, which was just me looking up the most common female porn star first name and the most common female porn star last name and putting them together. And then I have, just for pure romance, Wendy Bell. And I've only got, I think, one story under that name because it never really took off, but.
There wasn't enough brothers and sisters,
yeah,
for your tastes.
Yeah, for my audience's tastes.
For your audience's tastes, of course.
And so, yeah, I've got 4 different pen names, and each of them are just drastically different tones to the other. And so, yeah, I can totally understand the want to, like, put everything under a different name.
Yeah, that's right. I know Stephen King, he used to write under Richard Bachman.
Well, actually, he used to do that because his publisher was like, look, we can't publish more than 1 Stephen King novel a year or else we'll saturate the market. And he was sort of like, I'm writing 2 to 3 novels a year. Like, do you just want to release them? Who's it? Tupac, who had like 15 albums come after
yeah,
his death?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so he just made up a second name just so he could like publish more stuff.
which is like, that's, it's,
he's
it's
a machine.
Yeah. So it's like an author trying to protect themselves from, you know, like from themselves almost.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Like, try not to dilute, not dilute, but yeah, saturate the market with their own stuff. But
yeah.
Just the idea that you have so many books and your publisher's like, look, we just can't keep up with you. You have to invent a whole second person to publish those books.
Ridiculous. It's now reached a point where we have these novel factories where you have, you know, 1 or 2, you know, author names, but you may have like 15, 20 people responsible. Have you seen these sort of pumping out fantasy books and science fiction?
Oh, some of my friends did not exactly that, but they made up an author name and they 6 of them patchworked together a novel and it sold quite well. It was a young adult novel it was a parody of Twilight, I think, where the Edward Cullen character was Cthulhu. And so, immediately, like, all of them had ideas. So they just sat down and wrote scenes each, and then one person kind of took the responsibility of piecing it all together.
Yeah. Well, this is exactly what it is. But people are essentially told, it needs to hit all of these notes.
Yeah.
Give me a plot.
Here's
ideas.
The formula.
Here are characters. This is the formula.
That's the thing. That is how TV is written.
Yeah.
Like, in America, specifically. But for some reason with novels, we don't like it or it doesn't work or something.
Yeah, I think because with television and film, you can see all of the other people's work clearly on the screen. You know, you can see
the director, the set designer.
The set designer, all the actors.
Yeah.
It's clearly...
I forgot about the actors.
Yeah, those people. From the beginning, they're right there and involved. And so what we, you know, with a novel, though, we like the idea that it's someone sat in a typewriter, wrote it up. And
why, though? Why do we like that to the novel?
I think we want... We want
you're that, a novelist. Tell me.
We want that one-on-one connection, I think, with the work. And the idea that it's got many hands on it, I think...
Sullies it.
Yeah, I think it makes it into something more mechanical.
So when you asked me to come on a con man podcast, because I write under a pseudonym, I was sort of like, there's no connection there. But now you're saying this stuff, like, I am flat out making up a connection that doesn't exist, which is a con in a sense.
Yeah, that's right. So how do you sleep at night then?
Oh, on piles of money. Great.
piles of Bitcoin. Sweet. I think though, there are people who use pseudonyms for evil. I was going to say, if we assume that everything we've discussed so far is people using pseudonyms for evil,
do you consider Nicholas J. Johnson a pseudonym?
Yes, I do. Yeah. I mean,
do you not identify as Nicholas? Because I don't think of myself as Pandora Box.
No.
I'm going to have a Cracked article coming out and they're like, Pandora said this and he meant. And I'm like, well, that's not a sentence. Like, Peter said this.
Yeah.
Pandora didn't. And also Pandora's a she. Like, you've got to pick one or the other.
That's where it gets messy. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't identify as Pandora Box at all. I identify as Pan to a certain extent because, when you put stuff online for free, you get fan mail. When you put stuff, online for sale, you don't. People are sort of like, here's the money. This is my contribution to you. And so, yeah, when I get fan mail, I respond to that honestly and like as Pan, and I feel like I am Pan. But Pandora Box, the one time I got fan mail, after three or four emails, I was like, look, I gotta tell you I'm a man. Like,
I know it's
weird, but I'm not comfortable with like at all. Whereas Pan, I feel is me.
Yeah.
In a sense. So do you not think of yourself as Nicholas J. Johnson?
Well, I don't really think that much about it, to be honest.
Right, fair enough.
But I do see it as very much like that's my work title.
Yeah.
It's Nicholas J. Johnson. My real name is, of course, Nicholas Johnson. That's the only difference. And the J...
That is a difference,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, that's valid. Yeah, that's right. Nicholas J. Johnson has a nice ring to it.
Yeah.
And people sort of ask what the J stands for, and I tell them it's made up, and you know, it's always a good story.
Yeah.
So
is that the whole story?
That's the story.
That's a good one.
It's a great story. Oh, it's a winner. It's a winner. I was on ABC Statewide Drive. We used to do a weekly segment. Yep. It was Nicholas J. Johnson's Scam of the Week. And someone rang in once to ask what the J stands for. And so we made it a phone-in competition to guess what the J stands for. And it doesn't stand for anything.
Yeah. So no one could ever win.
Yeah, no one could. So, and it went for like 3 weeks. And everyone was like, is it Jack? Is it Jeremy? And then I think it might be Jebediah. And it got increasingly. And finally, someone rang up, and I swear the producers must have set this up, because they rang up and they go, is it that the J doesn't stand for anything and he just put it there to be pretentious?
I feel like once you go through all the other J names, you're going to reach that conclusion.
Yeah, but the fact that it was the reason why was because I was pretentious. It was like, that's
in all fairness, that is it.
Anyway, so assuming that deception is, you know, moral judgment aside, it is a deception.
I write incest mind control. If you're judging me for the pseudonym, I feel like you're focusing on the wrong part.
Good point. You have people like, say, Nicolas Cage, who is obviously his birth name is Nicola Coppola.
Yeah.
He's a Coppola.
Francis Ford Coppola's son.
Exactly. Yeah.
Nephew? Some relation.
They're all interrelated. Yeah. Some weird incest mind control thing going on. There's an idea for one of your little stories.
Is that the best when people come up to you and they're like, I've got an idea for a story. And you're like, that is neither an idea nor a story. You failed on both of the things that you're going for there.
I'm sorry. But at the very least, there is a premise in Coppola family incest porn. I'm sorry. Anyway, so he chose Nicolas Cage not in order to deceive people, but in order to distance himself. So he wouldn't be seen as nepotism. And people have been accused of just using their regular name, have been accused of, you're just trading on your family's name. Like Laura Imbruglia, Natalie Imbruglia's sister. Yeah. Why would you use that name? It's like, because it's my name.
Yeah, it's literally what I'm called. Do you know where Nick Cage got his name from, by the way?
No.
Johnny Cage.
Oh, really?
Yeah. the comic book character.
Yes.
He just fucking loves, am I allowed to swear? He just loves Johnny Cage.
That's
and
amazing.
He was like, that's what I'm going to name myself. You don't think of him as a big nerd, but he totally is.
I know he's a big, a big comic book guy. I'm obsessed he was going to be Superman. Which would have been.
He got paid $20 million to not play Superman.
That's great.
Which is something I do on a daily basis. Sure. And I feel like I'm sort of being ripped off.
I wish someone would pay Ben Affleck $20 million to not play Batman. We could have that happen.
Okay.
That would be great.
I'm going to read you some celebrities' real names.
Yep.
And you have to try to guess what the name that you know them as is.
Oh, okay. All right.
You ready?
Here we go. Yep.
Thomas Mapitha IV.
I feel like it's going to be a Tom. It's not Tom Cruise.
It is Tom Cruise.
Hey!
Thomas Cruise Mapitha is his birth name.
Beautiful.
Natalie Hirschlag.
Oh, that's Natalie Portman.
Yes. David Robert Jones.
David Bowie.
Yes, Bowie.
And that was because there was already a Davy Jones, and so he decided...
Davy Jones as a pop singer at the time.
Yeah,
and now his son goes under Duncan Jones, the director of Moon.
Yeah.
To distance himself, he's gone by his real name.
Exactly. That's
it's
right.
It's like Emilio Estevez is his birth name.
Yeah.
But his father is Martin Sheen.
Yeah.
So Charlie Sheen is going by, is it a fake name? Like,
well,
if you're the son of Martin Sheen.
Well, it is, because his first name is Carlos, I think. I think it's Carlos Estevez is his real name.
Right.
I think. And so that would make him Charlie Sheen.
Charlie Sheen is a fake name, in inverted commas, despite the fact that it's, you know, descended from a fake. Yeah, it's a complex one. It's an interesting.
It confuses me.
Okay. Catherine Elizabeth Hudson.
It's not Kate Hudson.
No.
Because that's just her name.
That's why she's not Kate Hudson. Or Katie Hudson.
Oh, okay. So this is, now it's someone recent.
Yep.
Younger than Kate. Oh, no idea. Who is it?
Katy Perry.
Katy Perry. There we go.
Farrokh Bulsara.
No idea.
Freddie Mercury.
Oh, that's I thought he was like super white bread. I didn't
know. No, he's not even white. Oh, I guess he's pretty white. Okay, this one you'll get.
I think when a podcast enters the how white is Freddie Mercury stage?
That's a good sign. Okay, I got a few more good ones.
Okay.
This one you'll get from the last name. So, but her first name is actually Destiny Hope Cyrus.
Oh, yeah, Miley Cyrus.
Yeah.
I know the story behind her.
Oh, what's the story?
She does actually go by Miley Cyrus. It's not a performing name. When she was a kid, when she was a baby, she was very smiley. When she was a baby, she was Smiley, and then she couldn't say Smiley,
right.
So she became Miley Cyrus.
Cute.
So, and I'm just going to edit that out because I don't want anyone to know that I have
that's adorable
knowledge of Miley Cyrus. Yeah.
I'll grab a few more. You know this one already. Michael Andrew Fox.
Michael Andrew Fox or Michael J. Fox.
Michael J.
Yeah,
Fox.
Yeah.
The J stands for Andrew.
That's got to be some like annoying being told, no, you can't go by your real name because we already have a Michael Fox.
Yeah.
This has been no home.
And he's like, I'm going to be way more famous than him. And you're like, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
We have no way of proving that yet.
Tough luck.
Okay, last one is Robert Allen Zimmerman.
Oh, Bob Dylan.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a classic.
Yeah.
There is something, I mean, in the case of Natalie Portman, and there is something a little bit distressing about the...
Having to hide the ethnic name almost.
Yes, the de-Jewification of someone's name.
Well, Renee Zellweger was told for years, you've got to choose a stage name because no one will ever remember or pronounce Zellweger. And she's like, nope, I'm sticking with it. And it really paid off for her.
because people remember.
It's a memorable name.
That's right. I have a friend who is a magician and his name is Alex De La Rambellia.
Yeah.
Which is spelled D-E-L-A-R-A-M-B-E-L-J-E.
Oh, wow. Yep.
And it's a nightmare for people to pronounce. And it's taken me years to get it right. And he's a magician. So for kids, he goes by Alex the Magician. But for adults, he's Alex the Rambella because that's his name. And if you don't know it, that's your problem. And
right.
I mean, he doesn't say it specifically like that, but
he's very aggressive on his business card.
Very aggressive.
This is my name. Deal with it.
Yeah. There is that sense, though, of like giving up a little bit of your identity.
Yeah.
And,
absolutely.
And for something that is essentially anti-Semitism or just making everyone else's life a tiny bit easier.
Yeah.
There's also the idea, and this is, it's still pseudonyms, but when you take on, because obviously when Michael J. Fox went from being Michael J. Fox, it kind of marked a new, point in his life.
Yeah.
And that's something that people will do with a pseudonym is they will use it not just to sort of demarc you know, the different works or, you know, for public versus private, but just to sort of say, this is now, this is,
I'm entering a new stage of my life.
Yeah. So the Pope, obviously, you know, that is a pseudonym. He's operating under an assumed name.
Yeah.
And you begin to forget who they were originally.
Yeah.
And you forget their real name and they become known as.
Cause the Pope Francis is just flat out not his name, isn't it?
Yeah. I think his name is like Jimmy Knife or something.
I really hope it's Jimmy Knife. I feel like if you're born Jimmy Knife, you can never become the Pope, no matter what happens.
That's it, yeah.
Although having said that, Barack Hussein Obama.
Yes.
Like, no one picked him as president.
And he changed his name from Barry to Barack. I mean, he was known as Barry. He was born Barack, but everyone called... Sorry, that was... Barry's not a president. Let's go
like,
with Barack.
I was like, you're really sticking with this joke.
He was born Barack, but he went by Barry for many years and then decided no one is ever going to vote for Barry.
Right.
They're more likely to vote for Barack. And so Barack became his public name. And I'm sure his, you know, friends and family still call him Barry or Mr. Barry.
just say Nick Cage went by Nicolas Cage, but to his friends he's Nick, but publicly he's always Nicholas. Like Nicholas J. Johnson. You're Nicholas J. Johnson as a performer and author and podcaster and whatever else. But if you went by Nick socially, it's just that interesting distinction.
Well, there is a mentalist in the States who goes by the name Banachek. One word.
Oh, right.
Banachek.
Like Madonna.
Like Madonna.
Yeah.
And I was talking to him because his real name is Steve Shaw. And I asked him, because I said, I noticed, like, we're at a magician's convention. So all the magicians are coming up afterwards and saying, oh, hey, Banachek, I really enjoyed it. And someone would come up and say, oh, hey, Steve, I really enjoyed it. And I said, which do you prefer? And he says, Banachek. And he said, and I'm paraphrasing, but it was essentially, it kind of felt like when people were calling him in that context, when he said, hi, I'm Banachek, and then they decided to call him Steve, that it was them sort of taking liberties.
Right.
And trying to sort of force a sense of camaraderie.
Yeah, right.
That wasn't previously there.
It's like that with, there's a popular YouTuber, well, not YouTuber exactly, but called Yahtzee Croshaw, and his birth name is Ben Croshaw. And for a long time, he went as Ben, inverted commas, Yahtzee Croshaw, but he just identifies as Yahtzee. So when people come up and call him Ben, it's that same thing. They're really like, hey, Ben. And he's like, you're trying to do something that I don't like.
I know your game.
Weird obsession with finding someone's real name. So I've got a close friend who legally changed her name years back now to McKinley Valentine. And people are like, yeah, but what's your real name? And you're like, what do you mean? What's your birth name? I've got another friend whose name is Fury. People are like, yeah, but what's your real name? It's this weird thing that I don't get.
Yeah. I think they just don't take the sort of acquired name seriously. They don't take it as, they take it as a coat, you know, that can be sort of, and they want to see what's underneath the coat and they want to see who you really are.
It's but really I must admit, invasive.
I think for me, because I was the same actually with McKinley, because I went,
oh, right.
Yeah, I went, oh, okay. Yep. Your name's, yep. Brendan, that's your name. And I said, what a great name. And then found out actually it's not her name.
It is her name.
It
was not her birth name.
Not her birth name, I should say. Sorry. Exactly. But that's it. My first thing is, oh, there's something. You've changed, and then I want to know not just what is your real name, but like, why is your name changed, which is far more invasive.
You keep saying real name?
Exactly.
And I don't know why it bothers me. I think it's because I just tie name and identity together so closely, but I'm literally bristling when you say real name. I'm like, that's not, it's...
No, I know what you mean. Yeah. It'd be the same. Yeah.
I don't think you're a dickhead. I just like, it actually just hurts me to hear that. As a kid, I read the book, How to Win Friends and Influence People.
Yes.
And one of the chapters is, you know, if you're collaborating with someone and you want to get points with them, however it's phrased. If you want to win friends and influence people, name it after them.
Yeah.
And people love it. And so I've always, that might be why, or it might just be that I'm wired that way, but I've always put such stock in names.
All right. So you're going to change your name, to a new name.
Right.
Peter C. Hayward, you want to join
the Guild of Assassins.
We've already got a Peter C. Hayward. So you're going to have to change your name. What are you going to change it to?
I don't know if you saw on Facebook, but I literally posted about this 2 days ago. Cause I asked just the internet at large, if you had to change your name right now and you couldn't use any former nicknames or any other identities you've ever gone by, what would you choose? Cause it's a thing that I think about a lot because I put such stock in names. And I went with, first of all, my friend's doctor has the best name ever. So I just want to steal that. His name is Chase Pistol.
What?
That's his actual name. That's his real name.
Doing it.
That's his name, Chase Pistol. And I'm sort of like, can I just have that?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
That's brilliant.
But the other one that I like is my ex's ex is called Paddy, but he goes by Paddington.
Nice.
And I just like that. I had a childhood friend called Paddy. I really like Paddington Bear, especially the new movie, which is amazing, and no one saw it because it looked shit. It was genuinely the best movie of last year. There's a little plug for that movie. I'm not getting paid by them. It's just really good.
Okay, good.
And so I really like Paddy being short for Paddington, and I also like Brooklyn.
Yeah, see, I love Brooklyn as a name, but the problem is that it feels like a movie star child name.
Yeah, yeah, it really does. Destiny Hope Cyrus. That's what I'd go with. Destiny Hope Cyrus.
She's not using it. Yeah. Right. You take that. I'll take Peter C. Haywood. Yeah. Maybe down.
Paddy Brooklyn.
Paddy Brooklyn. That's a good name.
It is, isn't it? Yeah. It's got a nice ring to it.
No, as a surname, I thought you were going to say like Brooklyn. Paddington.
I couldn't get it to work as a first name, but Paddy Brooklyn, I feel like I'm an honest, hardworking guy who wears the same hat as you.
Can I just point out that the Paddington books were written by Michael Bond, not his real name.
Oh, really?
My name, Thomas Michael Bond.
For pseudonyms. It's not a common thing to have a pseudonym forced on you. One of the ones that I can think of is serial killers.
Yes. Well, that's like, more nicknames, though.
Is that not a pseudonym?
I don't think so, no, because I think a pseudonym needs to replace the other name.
Right. Well, I mean, what was Jack the Ripper's real name? That's a bad example, because no one knows, but...
It's hard to tell with criminals because they do often take on nicknames, but that tends to be more about the legend. So you have like in the con artist world, you have Soapy Smith, who's Jefferson Soapy Smith. And he had that name because he used to do the soap auction swindle where he'd sell these bars of soap that supposedly had, some of them had $100 bills wrapped around them, hidden inside. And so people
were like paying, a lottery,
like a lottery, essentially it was a lottery, but really if anyone asked, he was selling soap. And of course the only people who ever won were his friends.
Yeah.
But that name of Soapy Smith, not only, I mean, it's not a pseudonym because not only is it still instantly him.
Yeah.
It's like it's naming him after his crime, you know, like it's his soapy.
But why is that not a pseudonym?
I think because it doesn't hide anything. There's nothing obscured. It's not.
It's not.
It doesn't add anything. So why
is that different to Nick Cage?
Well, Nick Cage is trying to hide his familial relationship.
Right, so it's about intent.
I think there's intent there, and a nickname I think is one which is added to your existing name.
Yeah, I think I disagree with you on that, but I'm not sure why. So,
all right, we'll go outside and we'll fight to the death, and you'll be known as the pseudonym killer.
After my... That's an awesome name.
Yeah,
should call your next book that, Nicholas. I came up with a book title for you.
Great idea for a...
It can be about a guy who kills people who have pseudonyms.
Yeah, it'd be great. All right, let's wrap it up. To finish with, I always like to have the con man's dictionary. I'm going to give you a word, and it is a con man terminology.
Right.
Con artist word or phrase, and you need to try and define what it is.
Before we start, just be aware, I don't know anything that's not erotica, so my mind is just immediately going to go to dirty places with everyone.
All right, here we go. The word that you need to define for me is cackle bladder.
Cackle bladder.
Spelt as it sounds, cackle bladder.
That's clearly a sex move where, oh God, no. Okay, so I'm going to guess that cackle bladder is when you con someone so humorously they piss themselves.
That's good.
That's it.
No, that's brilliant though.
When you really hilariously like con someone.
A cackle bladder. So a cackle bladder is a chicken's stomach.
Right.
And what they would do is they'd get the chicken's stomach and they'd fill it with blood. And this is before balloons were cheap. So this is 100 years ago. And you tie a knot in the top and you put it underneath your shirt. The con artist would be just about to get away with the money, and before the victim can say anything, someone would come in, pick a fight with the con man,
and stab him to death.
In the chicken bladder. Yeah. The blood would go everywhere, and the victim of the scam would see this. They don't want to be involved, so they run away, and of course they think their money is long gone because the con artist is dead.
The con that's so effective that the victim doesn't want their money back, sort of thing.
Right, yeah. And because they believe that the con artist is dead, it becomes a cackle bladder.
Yeah. Okay, any more, or is it just one?
Just one.
Ah.
Just one.
You tease.
I am a tease. I am. Well, thank you very much for being on the show.
Thank you so much for having me on. It's been delightful.
Yeah, this has been Peter C. Haywood talking pseudonyms, incest, and erotica.
As always, you can find out more at conman.com.au. This has been Scammapalooza.